Hello again. Since today's gospel has the Matthew's version of Jesus' prayer, the Our Father, I wanted to introduce you to a writer whose meditation on the Our Father is one of the great works. Her name was Simone Weil. She was born in Paris on February 3rd, 1909, and she felt a sense in her Jewish identity and yet a call by Christ. According to an America article attached, a link of which is attached to this homily, an article by Terry Tastard, Simone was visiting Assisi one year and she found herself in the chapel where St. Francis used to pray. She recorded, "Something stronger than I was compelled for the first time in my life to go down on my knees." We learn from her book, Waiting for God, that during a stay at the French Benedictine Abbey of Solomé in 1938, she was profoundly moved by contemplating the suffering of Christ and the power of the sacraments. She spent hours reading the Gospels in Greek and meditating on Christ, and yet she never became formally baptized as a Catholic, and yet she was drawn by the Catholic sacraments. She felt quite clear that her own vocation was to be on the threshold of the Church. She had frequently discussed Catholicism with Father Perrin, a Dominican priest she first met in Marseille. He urged her to seek baptism, but she always felt that she needed to remain on the threshold of the Church as a witness to her Jewish identity as well as her Catholic yearning. Her meditation on the Our Father, I find, is one of the great works of the 20th century sense of mystical theology. Allow me to read, then, excerpts from Simone Weil from Waiting for God. Notice how she goes through each phrase. Our Father, which art in heaven. God is our Father. There is nothing real in us which does not come from God. We belong to God. God loves us, since he loves himself and we are his. We do not have to search for God. We only have to change the direction in which we are looking. It is for God to search for us. Hallowed be thy name. God alone has the power to name himself. God is unpronounceable for human lips. We have access to this name, although it is also transcendent. It shines in the beauty and order of the world, and it shines in the interior light of the human soul. This name is holiness itself. There is no holiness outside it. It does not, therefore, have to be hallowed. Thy kingdom come. This concerns something to be achieved, something not yet here. The kingdom of God means the complete filling of the entire soul of intelligent creatures with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit bloweth. We can only invite the Spirit. We must not even try to invite the Spirit in a definite and special way to visit us or anyone else in particular, or even everybody in general. We must just invite God purely and simply, so that our thought of God is an invitation, a longing cry, "Thy will be done." In this clause, there, after an upsurging of our desire toward the possible, we are once again asking for that which is. We have to desire that everything that has happened should have happened, and nothing else. We have to do so not because what has happened is good in our eyes, but because God has permitted it, and because the obedience of the course of the events to God is itself an absolute good. On earth as it is in heaven, the association of our desire with the mighty will of God should be extended to spiritual things, our own spiritual ascents and falls, and those of the beings we love, have to do with the other world, but there are also events that take place here, below, in time. On that account, there are details in the immense sea of events and are tossed about with the ocean in a way conforming to the will of God. We have to cast aside all our other desires for the sake of our desire for eternal life. But we should desire eternal life with renunciation. Give us this day our daily bread, the bread which is supernatural. Christ is our bread. We can only ask to have him now. Actually, he is always there at the door of our souls, wanting to enter in, though Christ does not force our consent. If we agree to his entry, he enters. Bread is a necessity for us. We are beings who continually draw our energy from outside, for as we receive it, we use it up in effort. If our energy is not daily renewed, we become feeble and incapable of movement. Besides actual food, in the literal sense of the word, all incentives are sources of energy for us. Money, ambition, consideration, decorations, celebrity, power, our loved ones, everything that puts us into us, the capacity for action is like bread. All these objects of attachment go together with food, in the ordinary sense of the word, to make up the daily bread of this world. There is a transcendent energy whose source is in heaven, and this flows into us as soon as we wish for it. It is real energy. It performs actions through the agency of our souls and our bodies. We should ask for this food. At the moment of asking, and by the very fact that we ask for it, we know that God will give it to us. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. At the moment of saying these words, we must have already remitted everything that is owing to us. This not only includes reparations for any wrongs we think we have suffered, but also gratitude for the good we think we have done. And it applies in a quite general way to all we expect from people. And things to all we consider as our due, and without which we should feel ourselves to have been frustrated. All these are the rights that we think the past has given us over the future. This is the claim we have to renounce. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. After having contemplated the name, the kingdom, and the will of God, after having received the supernatural bread and having been purified from evil, the soul is ready for that true humility which crowns all virtues. Humility consists of knowing that in this world, the whole soul, not only what we term the ego in its totality, but also the supernatural part of the soul, which is God present in it, subject to time and to the vicissitudes of change. There must be absolute acceptance. Simone Weil concludes, stating, "The Our Father contains all possible petitions. We cannot conceive of any prayer not already contained in it. It is to a prayer what Christ is to humanity. It is impossible to say it once through, given the fullest possible intention to each word, without a change, infinitesimal perhaps, but real, taking place in the soul. Amen."